Welcome to the Autoimmune Connections podcast. I'm your host, Tammy Anderson of ThrivingPrimallyWellness.com. I'm an adventure enthusiast, a survivor of an autoimmune health crisis, and a certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner who helps people who are struggling with chronic health conditions rebuild their health and reclaim their lives. I have created Autoimmune Connections to bring you hope and to empower you to take control of your own health and become the healthiest, happiest version of you. Each week, I will bring you the stories of real people who struggled with long-term chronic health issues or autoimmune conditions, who reclaimed their health and their lives by making changes to their diet and lifestyle after being failed by the conventional medicine sick care model. On occasion, I will bring you experts in the health and wellness space, often people who themselves reclaimed their health and their lives from the brink of disaster by taking their health into their own hands. The content of this show is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a substitution for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or to treat or cure any illness or medical condition. I will end each episode with a weekly nudge, or in other words, a little nudge of encouragement to try something new that will move you towards improved health. Happy journeys, everyone, and enjoy the show. Hi, friends. As always, thank you so much for listening in. My guest on today's show is my good friend, Jim Shelby. Jim is 46 years old and works as a project manager. He is a former Marine, a current member of the National Guard, and a totally badass CrossFit athlete. But best of all, he's an all-around good human. Jim recently completed one of my group programs and went into the program with a bit of skepticism about what it was all about, but he had really life-changing results that have changed his mind about how lifestyle choices impact your health and have paved the way for a new way of living and being for him. So he is here on the show today to share his story. Jim, thank you so much for joining me and welcome.
Hi, Tammy. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. You are so welcome. I'm so grateful to have you on the show. So can you please share with our audience what your backstory is? Tell us about your healing journey.
Sure. Geez, where to begin? I guess we could start with when I went to get into the National Guard. Surprisingly enough, my blood work came back and they said my cholesterol was a little bit high, which was news to me. I had never had any issues like that and didn't think anything of it. But, okay, noted, got a waiver and was still able to get in the National Guard. Then as of last year, I guess it was, an issue with my sleeping. And let me back up a little bit, sorry. It was more of a laziness. I wasn't feeling as energetic and get up and go as I had been. And so at one of my annual physicals with my primary care doctor, I had mentioned that, and she had said, you know what, when we do the blood work, we'll look at the testosterone levels as well and see what's going on, you know, overall health, you know, what's up. Okay. So it came back. The cholesterol was, for military standards, was right on the border of where they draw the line. For, I guess, normal people, she didn't think my cholesterol was too high, but my testosterone was low, not severely, but was a little bit low, you know, and I wanted to discuss, you know, some of the options, you know, test, you know, I know people that get shots or they have a lotion and have a cream, I've never really been one to take medication. I don't even like taking aspirin, to be honest with you. So I always thought, you know, what are some of the options and what's causing this? You know, is it just because I'm getting older? But she had thought and mentioned, you know, how's my sleep? What's your sleep patterns like? And I was like, my sleep patterns? I don't know. I sleep fine. I go to bed at 10. I get up at 6. It's 8 hours. She said, well, are you getting good sleep, though? Are you waking up? You know, and I started to think about that. And I was like, you know, I have been getting up a little bit, you know, usually 2 o'clock, get up, go to the bathroom. But, you know, again, getting older, now my bladder's getting smaller. I don't know. I always chalk it up to getting older. And she had mentioned maybe doing a sleep study. She said, you know, some studies, I guess, have shown that sleep deprivation leads to lower testosterone because while you sleep, your body's rebuilding and not just sleeping like I assume sleep, but quality sleep where you don't wake up. And she mentioned doing the sleep study, you know, and I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. I want to figure out what's going on. But my biggest fear was having this breathing apparatus, this Darth Vader like machine on my face when I go to bed at night now. And, you know, how attractive is that? But, you know,
that's super attractive to your significant other, huh?
Yeah, right. Exactly. My probably my dog would run away from me, too. So, I mean, so I met with another doctor, and this was his area of expertise. And he first looked at me and said, "Nah, I don't think this is tied to testosterone levels. You don't, your weight seems good. You know, we'll do it, but I don't think this is right." He said, "If anything, you'll be a low, not moderate, not high." We do the study and it comes back in the moderate range. And I was like, "Whoa, okay." Yeah. And, you know, he was even surprised, but his, you know, his only response really was, "Okay, you're going to have to get a CPAP machine. I'll set you an appointment to get the fitting, blah, 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 blah." And I was like, "Wow, any other options?" You know, and nothing really was offered, you know. And then I had he had set that appointment up. But then I actually is when I, you know, I met you and you had some other options. And it was really eye opening for me and enlightening to know that, hey, wait a second. Pump the brakes here. I might not need to wear this machine, you know.
I can just make some simple lifestyle changes and not have to wear this thing every night for the rest of my life.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I remember when you came to me and you were telling me your story. I had just met you, actually, and I kind of hesitantly, you know, brought out the possibility that by making some diet and lifestyle changes, you might be able to fix the problem without taking medication and using the CPAP machine.
Yeah, and then it was great. It was great. I kept the appointment for a couple of weeks, and then they finally called it. They're like, "Are you coming in to do this, to get this fitting?" And I was like, "You know what? I'm good to go. I'm trying something else, you know." And they're like, "Okay, well, just let the doctor know." And I called and let them know, and even his person was like, "Really? Okay, well, let us know if you need anything, you know." I was
so
glad.
Conventional medicine just really doesn't look at lifestyle changes or recommend lifestyle changes to fix these, in some cases, pretty easy to change problems.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you had noticed one of the things you discussed with your doctor was your decreasing energy levels. You just didn't have the motivation to do things that you formerly enjoyed doing, and you were feeling, you used the word, lazy. So, you know, having the decreased energy from what you didn't realize was a really poor quality sleep that you were getting chronically, how did that impact your daily life? You know, your time with your family, your career, any hobbies that you participated in?
Sure. It's funny. I always blame the Marine Corps, right? They always say Marines can fall asleep anywhere because we get kind of brainwashed and changed. And if we get 5 minutes of sleep, we take a power nap, you know what I mean? And Courtney, my significant other, we'd be sitting around and like on the couch, say, and all of a sudden I could just fall asleep. And she'd get so upset that, one, I could fall asleep so quick because she can't fall asleep like that. And two, that it might have been mid-conversation, you know. But, just it really, really work-wise, I always felt like I was in a fog, right? I'd be on calls or try to schedule stuff, and then I'd be like not feeling it. It just – something didn't feel right, and I always felt groggy or almost like a haze, you know, a fog. And I even at work sometimes would be forgetful that I scheduled something with one of the guys, and then – so I found myself writing everything down now. And again, I also – blame that on, you know, getting older. But I think it really had nothing to do with getting older. I think it had to do with the sleep issue and how I was treating my body, you know, and how I was eating and all of that. I think I know it factored in, you know, just from working with you and the conversations we've had. But definitely
Absolutely.
A haze, you know, always feeling tired, always feeling like I needed a power nap. Waking up and still feeling restless, like I was not getting quality sleep, but I had no problem falling asleep, you know. So, I mean, it all was, you know, even my workouts, I didn't feel like I had energy to work out. One of my conversations with my primary care doctor was, "Look, I'm going to the gym, I'm running, I'm doing all these things because I'm in the National Guard. I need to stay active. I need to pass a PFT. You know, I said, but I'll get in there. And, you know, not taking supplements, not doing, you know, anything, just try to have the energy to go. And some days I'd get in there and I got nothing and be like, what the heck, what's going on, you know?
And then how about your recovery from your workouts? You go in, you force yourself to go to the gym, you do your workout. Were you having a harder time recovering from your workouts?
Oh, recovery. Yeah, recovery was brutal. You know, some people get it the next day, some people 2 days. For me, second, third day. I mean, 3 days later, I'm still sore and don't, and the soreness on top of everything. You really don't want to go back. You know, you really need to push yourself to go more. But it was taking a lot longer to recover, and I wasn't even going hard. You know, or like with the running, I felt like I constantly had those like shin splints, or my calf muscles would always cramp and seize up, and that would take weeks to recover. It's almost like a pulled muscle. You know. And it was just like, what the heck? My whole body is shutting down here. What's going on? I'm too young for this. I don't understand. I've always been somewhat active. I wouldn't say crazy active, but always involved in some kind of intramural sports or running or just something going on. And it was
using
really
your body.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it was really hampering it. You know, I used to play in an adult league baseball, over 30 years old baseball league. And they'd be like, man, you're crazy. You run around. You're full of all this energy. You're great. Boom, boom, boom. But then one injury and I'd be down and be like, oh, I'll be back next week. And, my quad, 3 weeks it took for that thing to heal up. And I'm like, what is going on here? And then it was just, once you injure it, you feel like that area is more susceptible to getting injured again, so you're always thinking about it. But I don't play ball with those guys anymore now because it was, I was too worried about injuring myself and then letting the team down. And but yeah, it just the whole thing was breaking down on me, so yeah. I needed sounds to like do you, something.
Yeah, you know? It sounds like you were just falling apart all over the place. So your poor sleep is, having this domino effect on all parts of your life. It's affecting your hormone production, so your testosterone ends up low. You end up with, this fatigue that's affecting your career, your ability to exercise, and it's really, it sounds like it was really life-changing for you, altering, and to the point where you thought, you chalked it up to what most people do is I'm getting old. symptoms are so common in our modern world right now because of, really unhealthy lifestyles that people are living. And, we just chalk it up to I'm getting old. But really, that's not what's going on. It's some other things. So how long, you said that you had joined the National Guard, and it was when you joined the National Guard that, you started discovering that, you have some funky things going on with your health. So how long would you say this went on, your progression of symptoms?
I think I was in denial for about 3.5 years, not really thinking about what, like you said, chalking it up to just getting older, being too busy, or that the 8 years in the Marine Corps took its toll, my knees being shot, my back, that all that stuff really just built up. And this is my body. This is what you got. Live with it. Deal with it. So it was a matter of just being in denial, to be honest, which in it. Going to the National Guard, having to go down, have that physical through the medical examiner with them, I was like, whoa, wow, I'm not as in good a shape as I thought I was. Hold on a second,
Yeah.
It was very eye-opening, but still not really much of a lifestyle change. When they said, and I made reference to it earlier, for the government standards, my cholesterol was right on the border of, what they would call high. But my primary care doctor said, no, that's not really high for what the real standards are. And I'm like, well, wait, what's the real standards? Well, okay, well, if you're saying it's not too bad, but they are saying it's okay enough to get a waiver to get in, then why make a change? You know what I mean? It was like, so you stay in that constant, I want to change, I want to change, I want to change. And I just was going in a circle and not making, I didn't have the energy to make the change, honestly.
Right. And did you even really, did you know what changes you needed to make?
No
clue.
Did
you have the information you need? Yeah. I feel like there's so much misinformation out there, and people just don't know where to start. So it's hard to make changes when you don't know what those changes are. Did you try any kinds of treatments for your low energy or your low testosterone, or did you just sort of live with the, the changes in your health?
I made a few, like with the cholesterol when I first found out, and then your doctor will tell you, well, but make some changes to your, here's what helps your cholesterol. You want good cholesterol, you eat this, you do these things, take some fish oil, I think it was, and what else? Vitamin D, or maybe that wasn't for the cholesterol, I don't know. But there were suggestions of that from my primary care. you know, and make those adjustments to your diet a little bit, but nothing, no draw the line. This is what you really should be doing. You know, she's like, ah, be a little more active. I'm like, I know I want to be more active, but hello, I'm saying I don't have the energy. You know, I have the mindset. I could sit on the couch and say I want to be more active, but when it came down to getting up and going to do something, I'd be like, eh, maybe later. So in essence, there was no guidance. I made a few dietary changes, but, you know, just stuff you can Google online. You know, oh, I have high cholesterol. What can I do? You know, WebMD kind of type solutions that were all just I looked for on my own. I had conversations with some of my friends that do work out and do other things, and everybody has like their take on it, you know, or go to GNC and get this, this, and this. And, you know, again, I don't like to take a lot of things, you know what I mean? Right. Yeah. And just treat the symptoms. Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. Not figure out what's going on and get to the, you know, the bottom cause or the underlying cause, but just treat it. You'll be all right. You know, and yeah. I did not want to get into that, but I started, you know, I started, oh, what does this supplement do? Or is this vitamin E really working? Or these fish oils, you know, how many more milligrams do I need to take? And it just gets, it's complicated, you know, and it's hard to keep up with. And it's always evolving and changing, you know, it's medicine and science and, but.
Right. And yeah. There's so much information out there and so confusing.
Yes.
So it sounds to me like the turning point for you deciding to actually take active action with changing your health is kind of correlates with when you were diagnosed with the sleep apnea and told that you would need to wear a CPAP machine and take medication for the rest of your life. Is that kind of what I'm understanding?
That is exactly it. It was perfect timing when you walked into my life, basically.
Yeah. So you had this sort of cascade of things happening, and, you know, you kind of came to this vantage point of, all right, I need to make a change, or I'm going to be stuck with this machine on my face while I'm sleeping for the rest of your life. So prior to trying diet and lifestyle modifications, what were your preconceived notions about using food as medicine and changing lifestyle habits for healing your body? Did you think it was a bunch of woo-woo, or did you, you know, what were your thoughts about that?
Honestly, I had no idea. I mean, other than, like I said, like when the doctor says, you know, eat this, this, and this, and that's good cholesterol, it'll help bring down the bad cholesterol. But the approach that I got when I met you, I had no idea that what you eat. What did you say? You're either feeding your body or poisoning your body. And I had never thought of it like that. And let me tell you, I have been poisoning my body for a long time. And I honestly believe that that's what was going on. But I had never thought about, you know, eating different things or certain foods that would help my body and build my body. I just thought of it as taking food in, gives you energy, boom, you know, energy out. Not what you're eating could be actually poisoning yourself, you know what I mean, or not necessarily good for you. I mean, why would all these stores sell this stuff if you're not supposed to be eating it, right? But yeah, it was very exactly. Eye-opening. It was a great eye-opening experience. I don't know how many more times I'll say that, but
yeah. Well, it's interesting because probably some of the things your doctor was telling you to eat are the very things that are actually making you sicker. And that's one of the problems that's going on in our world right now is, you know, the conventional medical advice that we're getting for what we should be including in our diet is really contrary to what we should be eating for a healthy life. So what were some of the dietary changes that you made?
So there was discussion, and you always hear this too floating around. People have gluten issues, and I had no idea if I had a gluten issue or what gluten was or what it was in. So I had already been like down to just eating like brown rice and wheat bread and wheat pasta, thinking I was doing all the correct things. Kind of like you said, you know, through doctor's advice, get rid of this, but you can have this, you know, everything in moderation. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
you know, so that was some of the adjustments I had done. But then, you know, through meeting you and the program we had done, wheat was not an issue. It was off the list. My rice and pasta, I thought was going to be really hard for me because I'm Italian, but cheese, dairy, I got rid of all of that and instantly felt the changing happen, you know, on top of the the sleeping issue. I have it's psoriasis, but it's like the tiniest patch of or case of psoriasis, and I get like a little red scaly spot, and that started to clear up. You know, 3 weeks in to the diet change, and I could just feel my whole body transforming, and I felt like I was fueling and not poisoning. You know, so no, you know, I basically got rid of all the wheat grains. Legumes, beans, my favorite. Right, didn't eat any of those. It was really meat, vegetables, and then, you know, some fruits in moderation. And it opened my eyes to you know, I grew up on steak, mashed potatoes, and corn. You know, my mom never made vegetables. Corn was the vegetable in my house, you know. So even into my adult life in the Marine Corps, when we go to chow hall, I wouldn't eat the vegetables. And this now, I don't think there's a vegetable I haven't – well, there probably is that I haven't tried. But now I'm making vegetables that I've never even had, and I love them, and I eat them all the time. And I'm not going back to, you know, mashed potatoes or French fries and – that old cravings, you know. So it's been great. It's been really exactly. good. The changes I made in the food, the refrigerator looks different. You can literally shop the outside of the grocery store. You know, you go down the outside aisles and that's all you need.
Exactly. Yeah. So when it's amazing what happens when we feed our body the food that nature intended to feed us, right? So foods that were not modified by humans, but were just, you know, grew out of the ground or ate what grew out of the ground. You know, the meats and the vegetables. So vegetables are so important and such a small part of our modern diet. But that's where all those micronutrients are hiding that we need to fuel our bodies. So aside from dietary changes, were there any other habits that you changed?
I work out a lot more because I have the energy now. So, you know, a minimum, I'd probably say a minimum five, at least 5 days a week. Mostly seven of some kind of activity. It might not be necessarily at the gym, but you know, a walk or a hike or out running around with the dog and doing yard work. Those two have been almost hand in hand with the diet. Came the energy to be able to get out and do these things that I used to enjoy and wanted to do. I feel better at work. I'm more focused at work. I'm able to take control of. I used to have a bit of a. Short trigger, I guess you could say, when it would come. Like I find myself getting aggravated or upset very easily, or just snapping and like the smallest thing, and then, you know, just getting a little bit angry about it. And all of that has seemed to is gone away. I mean, I still, you know, could get aggravated a little bit. I think everybody can, you know what I mean? But I don't find myself to be as quick to judge or to be triggered as easily anymore, you know? And even when I do, I used to almost feel like I was throwing an adult baby tantrum, you know, like say I'm out in the yard and the lawnmower would break and I all of a sudden I'm like, ah, piece of crap, you know, why did I do this? Why did I buy that? Everything in the world, the sky is falling. Now, you know, if it breaks, I'm like, well, you know, that happens. And then what are we going to do to fix it? You know, I don't have those tantrums anymore, you know, not that they were crazy tantrums. Well, Courtney might say they were, but, you know, all of that has changed. You know what I mean? So stress levels, I'm not as stressed, or it takes more to stress me out. I'm not as easily aggravated or triggered. Even when I do get angry, I seem to be able to process it better as opposed to like a knee-jerk reaction to something. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
right.
All of that has changed. Everything has changed for me mentally, physically. I mean – it's just awesome. It really is.
That is amazing. I mean, so you really walked into this thinking, I got to fix this sleep apnea issue. And what you ended up coming out of it was a whole lot of really amazing surprises that you didn't for things of improvements that you didn't expect. So your workout recovery improves, your energy improves, your stress, your ability to handle stress improves, your anger management improves.
Yeah, my
so
focus
you're just like
work.
A whole different person.
Well, actually, I'm almost half the person now because I left out the other part, the weight loss, right? I got the Marine Corps at 180 pounds when I was 28. When I first got out, I probably put on – my heaviest was 218. I'm a 5'7 stocky kind of guy, but it all was like in my belly, maybe in my neck a little bit. I'm down to 170 now, right? And
so 10 pounds below.
I haven't – yeah, below what I was when I was 28, right? When I made the lifestyle change, I was probably floating between 205 and 195, up and down constantly based on, I don't know, because I always got on the scale at the same time in the morning, but, you know, so as heavy as 205. And when I started the lifestyle change, I think I weighed in at 198 and I'm down to 170 today. And I have abs. I never had abs. Even in the Marine Corps, I didn't think I had abs. And I had, what do they call it, visceral fat, like the fat that sits underneath it. I always felt bloated right. and like belly fat. Yeah. And now there's like skin there and I could actually see some abs coming through. And, you know, it's amazing. And now my knees don't hurt as much, right, because you're not carrying as much weight. Sometimes I feel like I can't lift as much weight because I don't have as much underneath it. But I just feel so much stronger. But – and healthier now that I'm actually around, you know, where I should be. And I actually probably could do a little bit more, you know, according to national BMI body mass index, I'm still obese or heavy, but I don't feel that way. And I don't really judge myself that way, you know, but since I've been in the National Guard for my height, they say you should not weigh any more than 175. And I always used to say, but I'm a stocky guy, you know, I have a thick chest. So I would always have to get my body fat measured, and I've always passed according to standards. Well, I have a test coming up next week. This will be the first time since I've been in the Guard that I won't have to get the body fat measurement because I'm going to be under the weight limit or under what they say I should weigh. So I'm pretty excited and happy about that. And again, you know, it's all from the lifestyle change. I mean, and the weight's just coming off. I mean, I'm getting right to where I need to be between what I'm eating and how I exercise. I mean, I don't think I've ever been in as good a shape as I am now than I was.
At 46. You know,
maybe 46, no doubt, yeah. Right?
People so here say you that are thinking like, that you're feeling like crap because you are getting old, but now you're 46 and feel better than you ever have in your life.
Yeah, exactly. I went and played basketball with high school kids a couple of weeks ago, and I actually was able to run up and down the court with them. I was like, hey, what's up? I still am not good at basketball.
I am a total badass 46-year-old guy.
It's true.
So Jim, you, when you talked about your weight loss, and as a health coach, I really strongly emphasize with my clients that this journey is not about weight loss. It's about health building, and that, you know, in my introduction with you, that was one of the things that I emphasized a lot. And how did you feel about that when I made such a big stink about, you know, really encouraging you not to weigh yourself after the initial weight and wait until, you know, 5 weeks had gone by before you stepped on that scale again? What was your thinking when I announced that?
At first, I was like, is she crazy? How we've always based these kind of, you know, you always base your programs, whether it's some kind of diet or whatever you read online or you're just starting to work out, you always get on the scale. That's why there's a scale in everybody's house. There's probably two in some houses. And you said that and I was like, whoa, wait, what? Really? But then I was like, you know what? That's a genius idea because then you have no clue, right? So you can't get mad, but you can't get excited because a lot of times – like in the past, I would find be like, oh, wow, look, I dropped 4 pounds. And you know what? I go and have Chinese or whatever for dinner that night. And you feel like, well, I'm okay. I lost 4 pounds. I can do this. I'll make it up.
You deserve it, right?
It's like a treat, you know. And you're almost doing more damage than good at that point because then you overindulge in it or whatever. Or then you go from the Chinese place to the ice cream place. You know what I mean? So I was like, wait, this might be a great concept. I've never tried that. You know what I mean? And it worked out great for me. And the other thing I really liked was the measurements, right? So we took measurements. I wasn't happy that I lost a little bit in my arms and my legs, but I was really happy that I lost the 4 inches, I think it was, in my waist area where all that visceral fat was. But even though I get smaller in my arms and my legs, I got stronger. You know what I mean? It was definitely stronger. So that was probably just extra fat that came out and I've leaned out. I mean, I could see the veins in my arm now and I get super excited about that. You know what I mean? I'm like, look, I'm visceral. I'm not like strongman visceral like those great, you know, like the big weightlifters, but I have a vein. You know, I went to do my blood work again and she's like, which arm? And I'm like, you pick. And she's like, wow, look at those veins. And I was like, yeah, I know.
so many awesome changes that you didn't even expect. So yeah. Going back to not stepping on the scale, by not stepping on the scale, what did that make you put all of your focus on throughout your, making your changes in your diet and lifestyle?
I think it really made me focus on how I was feeling. How was my body reacting? How do I feel emotionally? How am I feeling mentally with what I'm eating and what I'm doing? And then visually, I could start to see it, you know. And if I couldn't, then Courtney would be like, hey, you're looking a little skinny in that, you know. And the other thing was my clothes too. All my shorts were too big or my pants. But it really made me focus not so much on the weight but how I was feeling. How do you feel with this lifestyle change? At that point, really, I realized I didn't really care what I was weighing. You know what I mean? I was feeling better. I knew I was doing better. I could look better. I was stronger in my workouts. I mean, so I didn't really care what I was going to weigh or where I was weighing in at. But I was deep down, I was still a little excited to see where I was at because I knew I wasn't going up. That's for sure. I had no way. I couldn't go. Yeah. Up, you know what I mean? And then like for Courtney, where she didn't lose a lot of weight, and I don't know if that's the same for a lot of women, but you see it in her too. And she was very frustrated at first because she didn't feel like – she felt that mentally and emotionally eating that way, she was feeling better and sleeping better. But she was like, I'm not feeling like I'm losing weight. And I said, it's not about losing weight. And I kept – that was constant the first 3 weeks our discussion, you know. Yeah. And then finally it clicked for her when she's like, you know what? These jeans aren't – these fit. These aren't tight. These, you know what I mean? And she started to feel it and come around to it, you know. And that was great for both of us, you know. But me personally, it wasn't about weight anymore, you know. And it still isn't, except for passing the Army weigh-in, you know what I mean. So I don't have to get measured. But
I mean, well, you know, looking good naked is obviously an awesome side effect of getting healthier, right?
Especially.
But you know, from my perspective as a health coach, I make that, you know, the number on the scale just isn't what's important to us. It's really how we're feeling and what kinds of physiological changes we're experiencing on this journey. So you've been at this for a few months now, and you're continuing to experience new and improved changes in your health that you're excited about. But when you started with your, you know, the lifestyle changes, and you made some really dramatic changes to your diet, how soon was it after you made those dietary changes that you started noticing some improvements in your overall health? How long did that take before you started seeing some improvement?
I think first couple of days, almost to an immediate, not like say with the my psoriasis, you know, or some of the blood. It was a good thing too because I had blood work done right before the lifestyle change, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to go back and do this again. I want to see internally what really went on, but I almost immediately started to feel better. And it goes back to, like I said earlier, it's almost like the poison food is a poison as opposed to a fuel. I almost felt like I started taking in the right stuff, and almost automatically my body was like, oh, thank you, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And started to flush it out, like, you know, my bowel movements, you know, all of a sudden I, you know, now it was scheduled, it was actual solid, you know, as opposed to, you know, it could be, I don't know, that's it, just everything right away started to change for the better, and I could feel it almost converting, you know. And even with the, not to say weightless, but the way my body started to thin out in my abs, in my midsection, where, and I didn't feel bloated, automatically did not feel bloated anymore. So then I was like, was it the dairy? Is it the wheat? Am I gluten? What's going on? You know, so that bloated feeling was one of the first things that went away.
Probably didn't even realize how bloated you were, because that's how you had lived for so long. That's just how it is, right?
Right.
And then you start to lose it and you're like, wait a minute.
Yep. And I had, you know, been running and doing a lot of cardio, thinking, it's got to come out from somewhere. And I would thin out in my neck and in my arms and my legs, but my midsection and was always still like that, you know. No matter how much cardio I did, I felt like, oh, that's it. I'm going to be 190 plus pounds for the rest of my life, you know. So my knees and back better get used to this, and you're never going to have abs and whatever. You know, you're going to feel like this the rest of your life. But immediately with the lifestyle change, and that's a great way to put it too, lifestyle change. And trying to tell my soldiers at guard on drill weekend when we're having lunch and I'm picking the meat off the sandwiches they bought to bring in for lunch and why I'm eating this. And it was pretty cool because I became an immediate advocate for it, you know. and I'm not a professional. I don't know how I have all the answers, but I knew where to point them and just my suggestions. And people look at you like, you're crazy. How can you not do this? Or how can you not do that? And I said, you know what? I said the same thing. I said, how am I not going to have pasta? How am I, you know, but it's not about not having and not wanting and all that. And your taste buds and everything changes. I mean, that probably took about a month, 30 days, but the cravings went away. Now I crave new things like sweet potatoes and asparagus. You know what I mean? It's like,
right,
what?
Exactly.
Who craves that, you know? That's yeah. crazy. You know, if
so
I get a craving.
Would you say that that's what – would you say if I were to ask, like, you know, what surprised you the most about yourself? Is it that you are now, you know, craving foods that you wouldn't have included in your diet at all? Or that you, you know, the pasta thing, what would you say was surprised you the most about yourself in making these changes?
One was that the cravings weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. I was scared that I was going to want, I got to have spaghetti. I got to have raviolis, which is pasta and cheese. You know what I mean? Or pizza. Oh my God, I can't have a pizza. And I tried to make a paleo pizza. It didn't come out very well. And that was it for me, but I picked the mushrooms and tomatoes off it and I was good to go. But, The cravings weren't surprisingly, I guess, because I was focused and starting the immediate change that I was feeling. I was like, you know what? This is more important than that. And cravings, they go away, you know, they go away. Or I'd find go have a piece of fruit, or if I'm hungry enough, make something. Don't eat out of boredom. Don't fall in. And that's where those cravings come, is when you're kind of bored or you don't have something going on. And then you start thinking about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let food run my life. It's my decision to make and what I'm going to eat and what I'm not going to eat. And at the end of the day, if I eat good or I eat bad, I'm still going to be full, you know? So why not just eat the good stuff, you know? So
that's
the cravings.
That's an awesome point.
Yeah, I mean, that surprised me that they weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be, and they were very momentary, and I could work through them. I still, to this day, no pasta, no wheat, no dairy. You know, my new favorites, almond milk, coconut milk. I mean, I love to cook. This opened up everything. I didn't even know I could cook with these things, that they made almond flour and, you know, almond meal or coconut oil. You know, it's just great. It was a change. It's a lifestyle change, like you said. And I think
it opened you up to an entirely new culinary experience.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. So you say you've become an advocate and you work with your soldiers on drill weekends and, you know, you're really, you know, excited and pumped about the experiences that you're having and, you know, sharing these with your soldiers. So if in talking to somebody who's struggling with chronic health issues and they're super fed up with the cycle of trial and error through conventional medical treatments, what would you tell them?
You know, I'm not the expert, right? But I try to be open about it, because I've been on the other side of that too, where you're like, oh, here we go. This guy, somebody knows everything about everything. He's going to change my life. I just try to be there for them. I open up to my experience and I just share how my life's changed and how it's affected my life. And look, maybe things work for other people, certain things, you know. There's this a friend of mine is doing this cleanse. It's a 21-day cleanse. I said, oh, that's great. You know, they're not allowed to work out for 21 days, but they're going to do this cleanse where it's like a juice cleanse, I guess. I don't know. I said, so what happens if on day 22? You're going to feel better. You cleansed your body. What's your plan on day 22? Because are you going back to what you were eating? Or, you know, I said, they're like fad. I guess you can call it like a fad diet, you know. Whereas a lifestyle change, like I'm trying to explain to them, is not doesn't have a date, doesn't end on the 30th day of the month. It's not a best you can do in 5 days. It's a change in your lifestyle. It's what you eat, thinking about how you eat it, how you prepare it, you know, and how it can affect you. And then so when I talk to my soldiers about that, that's kind of how I drive the conversation. And I leave it. I listen to them too. It's two-way conversation, and all I can do is make suggestions, but I explain to them how my life changed, and then they see it, and then they're like, wow, this guy's 46, he's running PT, he's getting a 300 on his PFT score, maybe he's got something going on here, maybe I should give it a try. So some of my soldiers ask about it, you know, and I am a cook in the guard too. So it's kind of funny because we'll get in there when we're making meals and I'll talk about it. And then I bring some of the recipes that I've made on my lifestyle change and they all want it and they all want to try it. Or they'll see pictures of it I post on Facebook and then they're like, hey, I made that. That was awesome. Thanks. You know? So, you know, I'm just a beginner as an advocate for it and all, but, and don't know all the ins and outs, but I just promote and try to talk positive about it, but then I can show them as well, you know? So I think that adds a lot to it, being able to not only talk about it and live it, but to see, you know, be able to show them the results and then run circles around them. You know, they're 21 years old. I shouldn't be able to do that, you know?
But exactly. You know, the proof is in the pudding, and that's what I tell people is that if you're modeling this and people see the results that you're having, pretty soon they come around to thinking that maybe there is something to this after all. But you made an excellent point when you're talking about the 21-day juice fast. What does happen on day 22? Are you just going to go back to what you were eating before that got you in this position in the first place? That's a really, really great example, because lifestyle change is about lifestyle change, right? We're not doing something for 20 or 30 days and then just going back to our old ways that got us sick and unhealthy to begin with, right? We're going forward and continuing to make progress. That was an excellent example.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of like the scale, right? It just, you put that date there, it sets you up to failure. You get to day 22 and you're like, woo, look how good I did, right? Just like getting on the scale and going, oh, look, I weigh 180. And then you get on the scale next week and you weigh 190. You just beating yourself up about it, you know? So on the juice cleanse or those fads or whatever, you know, you get to that day and you're all happy. You did it. You sacrificed. And then you turn around and you go out and celebrate by eating all the crap you just flushed out of your body, you know? And then 2 weeks later, you're thinking, wow, I'm right back where I started. What did I go through all that for, you know? Compare that with the scale, you know, that's why I don't really like the scale. And I think that's part of why you don't have us measure our lifestyle change by weight, you know, because you set yourself up that way. You can be like, oh, it's a constant reminder of maybe I'm failing, you know, oh, I'm succeeding. Oh, I failed. Oh, I succeeded. Oh, I failed. So it's a way to beat you up.
Inevitably, you do end up dropping fat, right, if that's what your body needs to do. But that's not where the focus is, because, you know, the focus has to be on building health. So, Jim, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I know you were really nervous about being on a podcast. You've never done this before, but you did a fantastic job. And I really appreciate your time today. So thanks again.
Sure. And thank you. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I wasn't too nervous and too nervous voice in there, but you know, first time for everything, but I do appreciate
awesome.
It. Yep. And thank you for everything.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I hope you've inspired some of my listeners to want to make some really awesome changes in their own health and their own life.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Autoimmune Connections podcast. Because I am truly grateful and honored to have you as my listener, I will be doing a giveaway at the start of episode 9. Two lucky winners will receive a copy of Rob Wolf's new book, Wired to Eat, and two winners will receive a copy of Dr. Terry Wall's amazing new cookbook, The Wall's Protocol, Cooking for Life. To enter this giveaway, I am asking you to do two things. One, leave me a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast site you're listening on. I look forward to hearing your feedback. Your reviews really do help and will help me achieve my goal of making it to the top of the charts and make the new and noteworthy section on iTunes. This in turn will help me reach and impact more people who are suffering from chronic health conditions or autoimmune diseases. And two, visit my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com, and leave me your email to claim your free gift of a comprehensive, color-coded food list that I have developed that you can use to get started on improving your health right away, and also so that I can update you on upcoming podcast episodes and blogs, and where you can find some links to some of my favorite things. Finally, you can find links to all of the weekly shows on my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.